Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. We're continuing on in a message I've entitled Restoring Vision. And our focus this week is to look at the truths that are contained in one verse of scripture found in Proverbs, the 29th chapter, how we can apply and understand what that scripture is saying, what God is trying to tell us in that verse of scripture. And that verse is Proverbs 29, verse 18, King James Version, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And we, as I shared on yesterday, the Webster's definition of vision, it means the act or power of seeing, sight. Or, that's of course literal, physically, but spiritually it is a direct mystical awareness of the supernatural, usually in visible form. So, through the gifts of the Spirit, through Benoan vision, we can actually see, if you will, into the spirit realm as God enables a person to do that. But in the actual Hebrew, the verb chazon, it means, the noun rather, it's a dream, a revelation, or mental sight. And it comes from a masculine noun, but it comes from a verb, that root word, which is chazah, C-H-A-Z-A-H, and it means to split, to divide, to see, to look, to behold, to observe, to gaze, select, to prophesy, provide. It is used of the real sight of the divine presence. It is something tangible that we as humans, as creatures of flesh and blood, of our five senses, can relate to. It's a vision that comes of God or from God to communicate His purposes to an individual or to a people. And yesterday I shared that amazing scripture found in Exodus 24:11, where not just Moses got to see the Lord face to face, but Aaron and 70 elders, they went up to the Lord at Sinai. That's Exodus 24:11. And it says, "And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink." And I gave another reference found in Job, the 19th chapter, verse 26, where he said, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God." Beloved, if you're a born-again believer, if you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, then in your physical being, which will be a glorified one at that point, you will actually see God. You will be able to, however we can do it. Well, you know, when Jesus, he appeared to his disciples, he said, he was tangible. He said, "I'm not a spirit. I have flesh and bone. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones." He says, "Come on, touch me." He reached out to them. He showed them the wounds, the scars on his feet and hands. And then he asked for something to eat. He was very, very real, even though he had in his glorified body supernatural abilities. He just could disappear. He could walk through the wall. And so this word that is used implies tangible truths. And the reason I share that is that God knows our frame. He knows we need something literal. And so, relating to us personally, we have got to have a vision. We have got to have something from God on a personal, individual level that moves us, that gives us purpose in our lives, that gives us a reason for getting up in the morning, that gives us joy in looking forward to the pursuit and the satisfaction of fulfilling whatever that purpose is, whatever vision God has given you. Beloved, and there's no calling too mean, too small, too insignificant that God doesn't cherish it. It's all of us working together, fulfilling our individual visions, the individual reason for our existence, why God created us. Why are you here anyway? God had a plan for you. He has you to receive a very personalized vision from Him, something that's going to stir your heart with joy, something that's going to light you up with enthusiasm, with excitement. And you say, oh, Sister Glass, you have no idea the battles I'm going through. I am not excited about anything right now. Well, I know. I've been there. Too, at times, we go through battles, but that doesn't mean that this still isn't true for us. A time is coming when you are going to be stirred. You're going to be set free from discouragement. Listen, Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. He went and hid in a cave because he was so discouraged. He wanted to die. I'm no better than my fathers. Oh, Lord God, Jehovah. God had to minister to him, you know, fire, earthquakes, storm, wind. He wasn't in any of that, but in a still small voice. And he says, I still have work for you to do. Go, anoint Elisha as a prophet in your stead. You know, anoint Jehu, anoint Hazael, king of Syria. He had a work to do that was fulfilled through Elisha and through the son of the prophet. The word of the Lord is fulfilled, even if it wasn't an individual lifetime. Whatever God spoke to your grandparents, if they didn't fulfill it, hey, it's going to come on down through you, praise God, because God's word will not return unto him null and void. And so, beloved, you and I need a vision of God that's going to shake us out of our lethargy. That's why in many cases and places in the church world and around the world, we're just sitting around doing nothing. We do our little religious duty. We go to church every Sunday. We may tithe. We may, if we're really enthusiastic, we might even go to midweek service or Bible study. If we are really spiritual, we might even go to a prayer group. If there actually is one in your church, they're diminishing. I understand. But still, God is now raising up prayer warriors who realize that if things are going to change, we better be on our knees, we better be on our face, we better be bowed in our spirit and submission before God, calling out to God to see revival, calling out to God to see our loved ones change, calling out to God to see that souls can be brought into the kingdom. But you know, in our state that we've been in, we're not moved. We've gotten very complacent. Beloved, you and I need reality in our experience with God. Do you remember when you were first saved? I don't know, maybe you were saved just as a very young child. But for those of us who were adults or more mature physically in years, do you remember the zeal of your salvation? Experience? Oh my goodness sakes, you couldn't tell enough people about Jesus. You were so excited. Do you remember those days? It's like you could, your vision was even better, colors were brighter. Do you remember that? I remember that. I was like, wow, this is just a trip. It was a wonderful experience. Do you remember I shared recently about Cyrus? The Persian king, the first king of the Medo-Persians, God stirred up his spirit. Beloved, we need a stirred up spirit. We need a vision of God that's going to stir us and shake us up. Our church, the body of Christ, needs a clear vision of Jesus before we can present him to the world. We need something real. We need something tangible, not just theological, concepts. We need something with flesh and blood, if you will, because we are creatures of flesh and blood. Remember in the Gospels, in John, the 12th chapter, verse 21, it says, certain Greeks came to worship at the feast. They came to Philip and said, sir, we would see Jesus. They'd heard about him. They wanted to see him with their own eyes. Hallelujah. And also remember when Jesus appeared to the disciples. Well, there was one there that wasn't there, and they were, astonished. They were amazed. They were rejoicing. They could hardly comprehend. They could hardly believe for joy that Jesus was, he really resurrected. He's alive. They were so thrilled. But there was one by the name of Thomas. He didn't happen to be there at the time. And he told him, nope, I'm not going to believe unless I see for myself with my own eyes the wounds in his hands and feet. And you know, there are so many doubting Thomases out there today. He is an epitome, if you will, of an example of someone who is scientifically minded, who's got to have sense, evidence, who's got to see with his eyes and hear with his ears, won't take the report of anybody else. Well, you know, the Lord knew all that. He came back again and he said, okay, Thomas, he talked to him first. He says, reach your finger here in my side. See my hands. Reach and thrust your hand into my side and do not be faithless, but believe. And then in this rebuke, although he was loving to him, he said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Beloved, that's all us, unless you've actually had a vision of Jesus or been taken up in the third heaven. And so, beloved, we need vision. We need the act or power of seeing in practical ways for our own lives, to translate that inspiration, that wonderful imaginative vision that God has given you, and translating it to your life. In Scripture, the eye is illustrative of the mind. Jesus said in Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Jesus, beloved, is the light of the world. Well, the time is just flying through these broadcasts, and so we will pick up and continue tomorrow at the same time. If you are listening by radio or by internet, just click on the next broadcast on the UCM website, and you'll be caught up to date with where we're at right now in restoring vision. If you're listening by radio, well, we'll see you back here at the same time. We're heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday. I love you and thank God for you, praising God for all of his goodness, and I do invite you to write and share your prayer requests. The announcer will give our contact information. God bless you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.